Good to be with you again. Vicki and I were on vacation, as you know, the past couple weeks, and it was a good time. So thank you for your prayers. We really appreciate that. And you guys, am I on your way, team? Okay. So So just wanted to say that, you know, I'm so thankful for our church and for the elders and the leaders of our church that would be able to, like, would really value that and to make sure that their pastor gets rest and refreshment. And I really needed it. And I just want to thank you for that. Thank you for that. And we had a couple weeks where we were, you know, I just wanted to share a couple things. With meeting God in creation was particularly significant for me. And we were in Pennsylvania. It was two weekends ago that we were in Pennsylvania near the Seven Springs area where people ski. We were there staying at a beautiful bed and breakfast, and Vicki saw a deer. I didn't see any deer the whole time. It was crazy. But we were in a beautiful setting, and one of the things that I loved was we went for a hike, and we found a waterfall that was amazing, and it was in this secluded area. There was a lot of vegetation. There was a beautiful waterfall, and I just was able to breathe deeply. And I sensed the Spirit of God ministering rest to me while we were there, and that was awesome. And then last weekend, I was in Nashville, Tennessee, with my friend Jeff Cannell. He's a pastor friend of mine. He's from Columbus, and he invited me to join him for this guy's trip. And we went to a concert in Nashville and some other things. But as we were coming back, we stopped at the Mammoth Caves. Have you ever been there? So in Kentucky? Yeah, so we stopped at the Mammoth Caves, and we did a four-hour hike in the caves, and that, again, was an amazing time in God's creation, and I was able to breathe deeply, and I felt like, you know, for there, at that time, it was like God was ministering to me his bigness and his greatness and his power, and I was so small in comparison with the power of God, and God is so mighty, and I'm so small, and God can do anything, and I felt like just God ministering the power, his power. In while we were walking through the caves, and I was one time we had a group of 40 people that were going through this tour, and we were going single file through the caves where the water kind of went through, and it was really tight and it was high and close, and I felt like so small, and God was so big, and I could be crushed in any moment, and He can do all things, you know. And I just was just being with the Lord in that setting. God ministered His power to me there. So it was a great vacation. I'm so glad to be back with you this morning. It's great to see everyone. I'm going to adjust this slightly because it feels like it's too high one way, too low the other way. So let me do this first. So okay, I'm back. Okay, so we've been on a series on being disciples, right? And I hope you enjoyed that series. This was, we completed that series, and Shauna preached on prayer, and her topic a couple weeks ago was praying like Jesus. You can listen to that if you haven't heard that talk. And Jacob last week spoke about the generosity spectrum and spoke about God and finances and the kingdom of God. Both talks were awesome. Did you enjoy their talks? I just thought they did a great job. And we have a lot of talented people in this church. We have a lot of gifted preachers and teachers and musicians and singers, and I'm just so thankful for all the servants. We have people that are just serving behind the scenes. We have a lot of gifted people in this church, and I'm so thankful. And so we completed the series on being disciples, but in a sense, we're continuing it, and I pray that that what we began, that it would be, you know, the being disciples theme, that's a lifelong quest of following Jesus as his apprentices. And, you know, it's not just when it's easy or when it's convenient or when we have a lot of encouragement around us or when things are working well, but we follow Jesus, and this is a lifelong quest of learning followership, not just leadership, but followership. We're following Jesus to the end. And so we follow him even when the enemy comes in like a flood, and when we're battling temptation or disease and sickness or rejection or discouragement or heartache or loss or you fill in the blank, we follow Jesus to the end. And we follow Jesus in every season of our lives, especially when our faith gets tested. And when trials come into our lives, the question still remains before us, will you continue to follow the Lord? Will you continue to be his apprentice? Will you continue to let him take you by the hand? Will you continue to follow Jesus? Will you continue to let God love you and lead you even now? And so after tragedy and loss, we still hear the Lord saying, follow me. And after times of disappointment, we still hear the Lord saying, follow me. And I say this because the biblical encouragement is to not just be an apprentice of Jesus for a few brief months or for a couple years and hope that we have coverage for heaven, but the encouragement has implications for the rest of our lives to follow Jesus to the very end. Follow him to the end. Scripture says in Matthew 24:13, the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So we follow him to the end. Being a disciple is a lifelong quest of following Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. And there are seasons in all of our lives when our Christian walk gets tested, no doubt about it. And maybe you're going through a time of testing right now when your faith in Jesus is getting tested. And that might be where you're at, I don't know. But like the disciples, and that's why I want to keep just kind of recapping this. Like the disciples, in the beginning, there was a lot of good things that happened. I mean, it was hard all the way through. Life is hard. But there were a lot of good things in that the sick were being healed, demons were being cast out, the poor were being ministered to, and things were working well. And they followed Jesus then, but they also were to follow Jesus when he went to the cross. And darkness covered the earth, and all the disciples were scattered, and they didn't know how all the pieces would come back together. They followed Jesus even then. And so we follow Jesus to the end because it's about a heavenly kingdom anyway, not just an earthly reality. It's a heaven, you know, we follow him all the way to the heavenly kingdom. So for the rest of the month of July, with all that said, we're now getting into a 4-week series called Christians with a Limp. Yep, Christians with a Limp. And that guy with the sneakers, he's limping, I'm assuming. But yeah, Christians with a Limp. And this series is on continuing our faith when everything gets tested. How do we as Christians deal with pain and disappointment in this life? How do we keep going when things get hard and we feel like we're just limping along? What is a Christian's response to the troubles that we face as Christ followers? Is it okay when we're not okay? That's what this series is about. So every week we're going to look at some Bible verses, and I pray that they will strengthen us during the challenges this summer. And the Lord is going to speak to us every Sunday. So I would encourage you to join us as much as possible. I know some people go here and there on vacation over the summer, but as much as you can be here, and you will not be disappointed. The Lord is with us, and he will speak to us as we gather as a church. And so today's theme is the God of all comfort. And that's the theme for this morning. It's kind of an overview of this topic, and then we'll get into more specific things as we go. But I thought of Terry Wardle. You ever hear of the name Terry Wardle? He was a pastor of a growing church, and he was a beloved professor. And this man, Terry, went through a very dark season in his life. And I want to start by sharing a little bit of his story. And when things were going really well for him in ministry, like as far as like the numbers were there, people were getting saved, people were getting healed, and things were happening, and good things were taking place, he had growing levels of anxiety that came. He was a workaholic, and he worked, like, burned the candle at both sides, but he had growing levels of anxiety, and usually he had a lot of periods of fear in his life, resulting in debilitating panic attacks, and the panic attacks started increasing, and eventually it led him to be homebound, and he fell into deep depression, marked by persistent crying. And he fell into this deep depression, and he was in isolation. He was isolated in a darkened bedroom, and the feeling of dread and black despair was very present. For weeks, he was unable to read, and he found scripture condemning and irrelevant during this period of his life. This only heightened his levels of anxiety, his fear, his panic, and depression. Eventually, it led to counseling, hospital treatment, and several months away from work. And slowly, he began to recover at a certain point. And Terry Wordle says the following. He said, "Let there be no mistake about it that I would never have made it. Don't have them. They're always there. They're always there. Okay. Thank you. Thank you on my head. Thank you very much. So let me just read you Terry Wordle. We lost focus now. I wanted to get. So, okay. So Terry Wordle says the following. He says, let there be no mistake about it. I would never have made it through my own season of suffering without the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. I am not talking about having a theological understanding that he was resident within me. That alone would never have held me fast. I'm speaking of a tangible experience of his help and comfort that held me together when by all other signs I was sure to fall apart." And so we need the presence of the Holy Spirit today and the God of all comfort, who is, you know, the Holy Spirit. When Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, he called him the Comforter, the one called alongside to help, the Holy Spirit. And so we need the help of the Lord this morning. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll read 2 Corinthians. We're going to actually be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. We'll look at that together, but let's just invite the Lord to speak to us beyond what I can do this morning. God, we invite you to come. Holy Spirit, you're the comforter. You're the one that's called alongside each one of us. So we invite your presence right now, and we ask that you would give your words, your power. Put power in this message, and I pray that you would minister compassion and grace to each one of us. You would minister your comfort in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 11. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as we share in our sufferings, as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." Then he goes on to tell his story. "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope, and he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers." So that's the scripture for this morning, the word of the Lord. So what are some insights about God's comforting presence from Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the comforting insights from Corinthians? First of all, scripture teaches, These are some things that I wanted to highlight to you. Scripture teaches that we are to praise God and declare his name. So let me ask you the question from the text that we just read. Did you pick up on any names from God that were mentioned in the scripture we just read, or qualities of God that were present in the Bible verses? What were the names of God that you noticed? Did you notice anything? I don't know if you have your smart device open or your Bibles open, but did you notice any names of God that were mentioned? What's that? Comfort. Okay, so comfort. He's a comforter, the God of comfort. Any other names of God from the scriptures? Put up the first slide, or the first slide. Put up 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3 to 5, I think it was. Yeah, 3 to 5. There, that you can look at that. Any other names from, is it hard to see when it's white like that? Okay, you can see that? Good. I'm having trouble with everything. Okay, so the Father of compassion, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. So those are some names, you know, that's what I kind of wanted to highlight. There were other, you know, God is the deliverer. Ultimately, when Paul was sharing his story, God delivered him from every evil attack. He's the deliverer as well. So the Father of compassion and the God of comfort. You can go back to the slide then with the outline. But so the Father of compassion, and the God of, this is part of the nature of God. He's the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And let that sink in this morning. God is the Father of compassion. And that is who he is. We can address him in prayer and in worship by using that name. The Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. No matter what you're going through today, even during times of testing, we can start by praising God as an act of the will. And we keep praising him and praying to him as an act of the will. And Paul mentions this right away in verse 3. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Praise him. And so I would encourage you to try to remember this when you're praying this week. You can address him in that way as you feel like you're limping along the Christian life and feel like you don't have your best. Pray something like this. Lord, I look to you, I pray to you, knowing that you're the God of compassion, you're the Lord, you're the God of all comfort. And then you can pour out your heart to God. Whatever's on your mind, he can shoulder that. Pour out your heart to the Lord. And this is something I've done a lot over the years, even when I was in my early 20s, on a missions trip to Hong Kong. I like to share my stories. I keep reading my journal and remembering some of the things. But I love to declare the names of God and declare who God was and what he's doing in my life. And I went to this mountainside to pray, and I journaled it this way in February 22nd, 1995. I wrote, today I took a walk late in the evening to get alone with God, and I was deeply troubled. And I went to the top of a small hill that overlooks the city. I had a great time tonight asking God specific questions, and he answered me specifically. It was an awesome conversation with God. I then started worshiping, shouting loudly to the Lord, and this reflects my personality, maybe. I started yelling, praise God to the city, and preached to the buildings, and rebuked evil spirits that God was helping me to discern that day. And I proclaim the qualities of God, mighty, powerful, all dominion and authority are yours. God of creation, Lord of compassion. And there was a definite release in me as I declared the qualities of God and the character of God. I walked there in self-pity, and I wrote, I walked there in self-pity, and I came back singing and rejoicing and with tears. And so these verses, you know, when we look at these verses, we learn to praise God and declare his name through life's trials and life's tests. And a lot of times it is an act of the will. And secondly, draw near to God for comfort. You might wonder, okay, how is God going to comfort me in my loss? How is God going to comfort me in my struggle with addiction or sin? How is God going to comfort me in my battle with illness and physical pain? How is God going to comfort me with my struggle with disappointment? Whatever you're going through, if you're asking that question, how is God going to comfort me? I got a great answer. My answer is, I don't exactly know how God's going to do that. And I'm not God. Are you God? So I don't know exactly how he's going to do that. But what I do know is that he's the God of all comfort. And you can underline the word all. He's the God of all comfort. And also in verse 4, it says that he comforts us in all of our troubles. And again, you can underline the word all, if that helps. That tells me that no matter what trouble or hardship or disappointment or pain that you might be experiencing right now, God has a way of meeting you in that space and coming close. It's different with every person, absolutely. But he can comfort us in all of our troubles. Matthew Henry has said it this way. He said, all comforts come from God, and our sweetest comforts are in him, are in God. God, the God of all comfort. And I think about the biblical imagery of the shepherd and the sheep. And we're the sheep, and he's the shepherd. And he walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. And we will fear no evil, for God is with us. His rod and his staff, they bring us comfort. Psalms 23, the shepherd with his sheep. So God is the God of all comfort. But keep in mind, when Paul talked about this ability, God's ability to comfort, Paul wasn't speaking as one that was detached from a world of pain. That wasn't Paul, right? He wasn't living this sheltered, unaffected life where he got a free pass from trials. Paul was in the mud a lot. Paul knew heartache and loss and disappointment and betrayal. He knew physical pain. Paul knew life was hard when he said this. And actually, let's listen to his own. I want to show you his own words again. You've read this maybe before, but 2 Corinthians 11 gives the list of what Paul was going through. And this is the same letter. He talked about this as well. 2 Corinthians 11, 21 to 29. He says, whatever anyone else dares to boast about, and I'm speaking as a fool, because he said, look, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. I'm not going to boast about my strengths. I'm boasting about my weaknesses. He said, I'm also daring to boast about these things. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one, which means that they were beating him mercilessly right up to the point of death, and then they pulled back. He almost died, but then they stopped right at the brink of death. 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides all this, besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. Paul understood trials. Wouldn't you say? He didn't counsel from this place of luxury. And this man, Paul, who endured so much, is the very one who penned these words, led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about Scripture. The men of old spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit when they penned these words. And so he says, the God of all comfort is the one who comforts us in all of our troubles. And I want to give some examples of this. Now, if we draw near to the God for comfort, how will God comfort us this morning? Again, God only knows. I don't know. But he has an infinite number of ways that he can bring levels of comfort in different seasons of our lives. And I pray that God would even be speaking this morning in different ways. But he can speak clear words to you from the Holy Spirit. You can put up the slide about just some examples, but speaking clear words from the Holy Spirit, he provides visions and visual images at times. Some of you get a lot of visual images. And God can provide that during some very dark times. He can bring levels of healing to traumatic memories and reveal new insights from past situations. Sometimes he shows people, and Terry Wardle talks a lot about this, like when he's ministering to people, he shows people where God was when those things took place. Like the Spirit of God leads them back to the memory when they're ready. The Spirit of God leads them back to the memory, and the Lord Jesus reveals where he was. Even during the darkest situations, God will show you where he was if you ask. He can also bring people into your life that might be comforting and be a healing presence in your life. Maybe new friendships, maybe new relationships, people of God who can provide strength for you during this time, during this season. Sometimes God comforts by revealing his love in fresh ways. He communicates how much he loves you unconditionally, eternally, passionately. Even when you're going through hard times, he ministers his love and his care for you. And that brings some levels of comfort. It's not, you know, it doesn't take things away, but it brings levels of comfort. And at other times, he simply reveals his presence, reminding you that he is with you. He is present with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's with you in the valley. He's with you in the storm. He's with you in your doubt and unbelief. Like Daniel, he's with you in the lion's den. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he's with you in the furnace. Like King David, he's with you as you face Goliath. Like the disciples, he's with you to the very end of the age. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. So God has an infinite number of ways. I just listed a couple, but there's so many ways that God can bring different levels of comfort. There's so many different ways that God can show up in this space right now. And I'm asking for that. And I'm praying for that. Even this morning. He can show up right now as the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our troubles. Like Paul said in verse 5, if we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, are you sharing abundantly in the sufferings of Christ? That's something to claim and put on your fridge. I'm sharing abundantly in the sufferings of Christ. Paul said, if you share abundantly with me in the sufferings of Christ, you will also share in the abundance of the comforting presence of Christ. Share in the sufferings and share in the abundance of comfort. So we draw near to God for this type of thing, even this morning. And lastly, give away whatever God gives you. This seems to be important for the Apostle Paul in these verses. In his letter to the Corinthian church. Verse 4 says, God comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. So there's a sense of transferal and giving it away, giving it to another. So when God gives a level of comfort to you during a difficult season, and he has an infinite number of ways that he can do that. And we praise God for those moments. We're thankful, even though it's big and small. We're thankful for every moment with the Father of compassion. And remember that when God does that, but keep in mind it's also something that we give away this side of heaven whenever we can or whenever God leads us to do that. And we minister comfort to the person next to us. And if you think about it, like the definition of prophecy in 1 Corinthians, another letter that Paul wrote right before this letter, he wrote 1 Corinthians, and he talked about prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14, and he said, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. When prompted by the Holy Spirit, we minister to others with the same comfort we've received from God. We receive it from God, and through promptings of the Holy Spirit, we give it away to another. There are so many times in my life, and when God has ministered to me, and you might be able to relate to this, God has ministered to you, and then you're able to share that word later with a lot of clarity. Like I remember when in my early 20s, when the Lord spoke to me, there was a group that came around me to pray for me, and the Lord ministered through a friend of mine named Pam, and she said, Conrad, the Father delights in you. And I just was undone by those words. I just wept and wept and wept because God ministered very deeply to my heart the Father's love. And it meant so much. And I don't know why I got so emotional during that season of my life pertaining, but I knew that I felt the love of God. I felt the care of the Father of compassion. And that word, the Father delights in me, I have told people that hundreds of times, I don't know how many times, countless times over the years, ministering to people, and it comes very natural for me to minister to people and say, the Father delights in you. You're the apple of his eye. He loves you so much. He thinks about you all the time. You're always on his heart and mind. The Father delights in you. It comes very naturally because I've been affected by that word personally. And so when you get affected personally by the Lord and by a word from God and by the comforting presence of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, it's very natural to give it away and to share it with somebody else. So Paul's encouragement to the Corinthian church was just that. When you're hurting, look for ways to minister as well. In this way, we become wounded healers. You ever hear that term, being a wounded healer? Henry Nouwen talks a lot about that. Others have talked about that too. But there's a quote by Henry Nouwen. He says this, the main question, you can put up that quote. The main question is not how can we hide our wounds, but how can we put our woundedness in service to others? I think that's what Paul was talking about. We do this for Jesus' sake and for the kingdom of God, because it's not just about us. It's about a heavenly kingdom. It's about keeping our focus to the end. It's about encouraging others while there's still time. Life is hard. And Jesus said to his followers, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And so when God gives you something that's helpful to you, the odds are very high that that very thing might be helpful for another person someday. It's tools for the tool belt. And again, Paul said, we comfort those in any trouble with the same comfort that we've received from the Lord. We give it away. And Paul went on to model this in the passage I read. He went on in verse 8 where he said, I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about what has happened to us. He said, we were under great pressure. So he tells them, comfort others with the same comfort that you've received. And then he tells them a story He said, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. We despaired of life itself. We felt the sentence of death. But the Lord came to our rescue because of your prayers. The Lord was the deliverer, and he delivered us from every evil attack because of the prayers of many. And so Paul disclosed his story, saying, I felt that pressure. We were under great pressure beyond our ability to endure. And the Lord came through for us. And so I just say that because we're going to need each other. I think we're going to need each other in the days to come. If we're going to continue over the long haul of following Jesus and being faithful and keep pointing people to the Son of God, saying, keep following him, do whatever he says. He's the Lord. If we're going to keep encouraging people to stand firm in God to the very end, with heaven as a sure reward, and we keep trusting and following Jesus to the very end, let's encourage each other in the Lord during these dark times. We're going to need each other. And that's why Paul says, give it away. Whatever God's given you, give it away. Because life is hard for all of us. Life is hard. So what do we learn from the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort? These three things I'm proposing. There's other things we learn. But praise God and declare his name. Draw near to God for comfort. And give away whatever God gives us. And so I want to transition now just to a time of prayer and listening to the Lord and see what God does. Can we do that? So worship team can come up as you can. Just going to take a time of ministry. Let's stand up together. And why don't we start with this? Right where you are, let's address God, talk to God. He is the God of all compassion, Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. Let's address him that way, right where you are. Just say, Father of compassion and God of all comfort, come into my life. Come speak to me. Holy Spirit, come. The comforter, the one called alongside to help, I invite you to come. Now, we're going to wait on God. We're going to do things a little bit differently this morning. I'd like to just take some time where you can just be with the Lord. Just be with the Lord. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know what God wants to say to you, but the Lord is here. The Lord hasn't given me a lot of clarity as to what comes next in the service, but I think he wants to speak. I do know that. So Lord, speak to me into my life situation. Whatever's coming to your mind, just ask the Lord to speak into that memory, that episode, that disappointment, that loss, that pain, whatever it is. Lord, would you come? Just be with your church. Just going to take a few moments here. Just be with God. God, give visual images, Lord. Jesus, reveal yourself, manifest yourself to the church. Give ideas, give insight, give intersecting thoughts, things that we know do not originate from us. Just speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Like Mary, we say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. just rest. Don't strive. Just rest in the presence of God right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Let the Lord minister. Let Him love you. Let the Lord love you.
Of your amazing love.
Minister, Lord.
Jesus, I can't get enough. I can't walk away. No, I can't walk away.
Help us to be faithful to the very end.
For I have seen your face, and I can't walk away, and I just want to be where you are, and I just want to be.
Feel prompted to pray for somebody around you, just go ahead and do that. If you feel prompted, if you want to just stay right where you are and just keep receiving, you do that. I'm not going to call anyone to the front this morning. We're just going to let God minister to us. Just be right where you are. Just love Jesus. All eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let God love you. Let God love you.
Jesus, I can't get enough.